It's no coincidence that we are having a Yon Iyun on Tefillah, a day to focus on our Tefillah, to pay deeper attention on our Tefillah, and yet a barrage of rockets, terrible, terrible attacks coming from down south, hitting even central Israel, are sent by Hamas, by terrorists in our own land. If that isn't a call for Tefillah, I don't know what is. In fact, in the beginning of the first Intifada, my wife, in one of the books that she was reading, she showed me this story about a very famous Rebbetzin, a prolific writer, big tzaddikus, who lived in Yerushalayim during the time, was terrified. She didn't know what to do. You guys were probably... Were you even born? You guys, you were just about born in the early 2000s when you would go on a bus in Israel and be terrified and might be blown up. And the person next to you might be carrying a bomb. There was fear that was tangible in the streets of Yerushalayim. And this Rebbetzin, like many others, was nervous as to what to do. Should I leave? Should I leave my home, leave my apartment, take my family and go visit relatives on a kibbutz far away, away from where any Arab activity was going on? Should I go back to America? You know, visit my family, it's a good break, I'll do it over the summer, have a chance to escape the scenario of the Intifada? And she went to ask this very, very important question to Rav Eliashiv, the Gadol HaDor, who also lived in Yerushalayim. And she asked him, so I was wondering, what should we do? We should discuss the whole situation. My family isn't sure. Should we go? Should we, you know, set up an extra shelter? Should we go visit relatives farther away from Yerushalayim? Or should we just daven? Rabbi Yashav looked at her like she was crazy. Or should we just daven? Just daven? Just daven? I said that's like the icing on the cake. That's the little bit that you're supposed to do. Just daven, Rabbi Yashav said. She wasn't the one to get fired, but he jumped up. Just daven? There's only davening. You think about hishtalos. What should I have to do? Okay, so in order, I want to get a good job. Okay, so I've got to, you know, make sure to do all my SATs and study up on my exams, get into a good college, do well in interviews, speak to all the guys who are rich in my shul, make sure to get, you know, my resume further along. I got to do my hishtalos. Hishtalos begins and ends with tefillah. Yes, you have to do hishtalos, but don't forget that a critical element of doing your own hishtalos is to daven. I'll give you a practical example. Something happened to me. It's kind of embarrassing. I don't remember, it was last year, 2 years ago. I mean, the past 3 years, I had the privilege of learning Bechavrusa Morning Seder with Reb Ben Arsh, Skan Rosh Kolel and the YU Rosh Kolel here. And for a long period of time, I don't know, a few days, a week maybe, I've been working on one specific Rambam. It was 2 years ago, because it was Sukkah. Okay, so 2 years ago, we were looking at one specific Rambam. We were befuddled. We were not sure. We had read all the Nosei Kalim, all the different commentators on the Rambam. We had tried to think through. We had gone through the other Rishonim. We understood their perspective on the Sugya. We did not get what was going on in the Rambam. And Rav Penner, Menachem Penner, the dean of Ritz, had come on one of his occasional trips to Israel. And he came to the Kriyas Kol, as he often does. And he was walking around the Medrash, greeting everybody, saying hi. So he came over to Rav Ben Arsh to introduce him, not introduce himself, he knew who he was, but to say hi, to greet him. And he looked over our shoulders and said, oh, what are you working on? So Rav Ben Arsh was like, oh, man, I've been working on this Rama for days now. We thought of everything we possibly can, and just had no feasible explanation. The Shver Rama, you know, I'm smiling there, nodding my head, you know, Rebbe can't get it, I can't get it. And Rav Ben Arsh just like asks us, matter of factly, did you doubt it? A little awkward. I davened, yeah, but like about this? What do you mean? Learning? Learning is an intellectual endeavor. It's about how much you can focus, be a masmid, how much you can really think through. Late at night, you push through. Did you daven? The answer was no. Not about this Rambam. And you should. The first step of your Hishtadlus is to daven. And now, when this situation is approaching ourselves, it's a call to arms. We get up there and we have the, you know, one of those Shir LaNalos. Okay, we say it after davening. Okay, very cute. Okay, but like now, the real Hishtalos, all the tanks are going to be rolling out or whatever. Chassid shouldn't come to that. That's real Hishtalos. Davening is the first step. So Baruch Hashem, we have this Yom Yuntay, hopefully, another Ramosha Tzvi just fired me up. My mincha was different than it would have been otherwise. Hopefully, all of us will take today as a chance to springboard ourselves for this upcoming Zman, for the rest of the weeks, and hopefully our whole lives, to be able to deepen our davening. I want to talk today about the most underrated part of davening. Everybody likes things that are underrated. In fact, it's like cliche, like now, like it's like sometimes it's cooler to like the team that's like overrated. Everybody likes like the big powerhouse. No. We know the underdogs, what we root for. We want to see that thing which nobody was counting on, which was actually incredibly impactful, that sleeper pick on your fantasy team who blows everybody's mind. So what is the most underrated part of tefillah? The part that nobody realizes is critically important. In fact, perhaps the most important part, I'd venture to say, of tefillah, and yet so easily glossed over. Before we get to that, I'd like to give a small introduction of what tefillah is. We know there's a mitzvah in the Torah, according to the Rambam, to daven every day. However, the Rambam tells us in the beginning of Hilchos Tefillah, if you want to look on your source sheets, I'll try not to read too much inside. The first source on your source sheet is the first four halachos of Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tefillah of the Rambam. In the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one of the sections is Hilchos Tefillah, all about the laws of prayer. And he begins by telling you have an obligation, min haTorah, midaraisa, from the biblical law itself, to pray to God once a day. What does that entail? Rambam says, you know what? It doesn't entail any text. It doesn't entail any number of time. Certainly not a length of time. It doesn't matter. The biblical obligation, midaraisa, just got to daven once a day. Talk to Hashem. Now in halacha, bet, Rambam goes on and clarifies. Do you need a seat back there? No, it's fine. I really can stand. I have a schedule. Here. Somebody out here. Okay, so you guys can slowly, as I keep on talking, you can like make your way through here. Alright, you can set up here. You all pass here. Okay, I didn't mean to like call you up to the front. Alright, I have source sheets. Alright, but no reason to stand. Okay, so Viking. So now, the Rambam tells us that there's no set text, there's no set number. Midaraisa, you don't need any of that. Okay, if that's the case, then why do we do it? Right? I mean, everybody knows Shabbat Shem Kamar. Everybody knows we have a sitter, which has a set text. And there's obviously a reason for that. And everyone says, yeah, midrabbana. Not on a derice level, not biblical law, but rather from the rabbis, they introduced this. The question, of course, is why? What happened? Now, for, actually, we'll say centuries, the way that people would daven, the Rambam tells us, if you want to see, in Halacha Gimel, Im Haya Ragil, Mar Rebetchina Ubakasha, if you were used to davening, like everybody had to be used to davening on bare minimum, you daven once a day. But if you were somebody who was really good at it, you know, you were an expert, not some noob, you knew how to daven. So you would get up there and daven for hours. You daven many times a day. Im haya ragyo, marva b'tchino bakasha. Im haya arls on the side. If you're the type of guy who's, you know, couldn't get the right words out. So then, the daven could be a chalto, b'chol eisha yirtzo. You would daven in accordance with however much you could do, however much you can manage, whatever you could, you know, so... I don't know, you're stuck in traffic, say, God, help me out here. Get me through this traffic. That's how things used to be. And for centuries, that's how Klal Yisrael lived. The Rambam writes, V'chein haya hadavar tamid b'Moshe Rabbeinu ad Ezra. Until Ezra. How long was Moshe Rabbeinu until Ezra? Ezra is the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Klal Yisrael, we're going to get to some of the guys already. 850 years was the first commonwealth. That's quite a long period of time. How long were we in this land? 850 years. 70 years of exile. Close to 1,000 years of time. The Klal Yisrael went about davening in this fashion. And then everything changed in the time of the Anshei Knesset Gedolah by Ezra's time. The beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash. They realized there was a problem. What was that problem? Well, as the Jews had been scattered across Babylon, when Nebuchadnezzar had gone and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and brought the Jews into Babel, the Israel who were born there didn't know how to speak Hebrew anymore. They couldn't communicate to God in the most ideal language, in the perfect way. Now, you could daven in any language, it happens to be. But the best way to daven, the most precise words, the words that would have the most impact, are in Hebrew, or Lashon HaKodesh. And therefore, because people had such difficulty with this language, they spoke, I don't know, Aramaic. They spoke whatever language was spoken, Akkadian, in ancient Babylon. So, because of that, they had such difficulty with tefillah. They couldn't communicate with Hashem any longer. That Chazal decided to set up a set text. So that way everyone, the Rambam writes, everybody became in Shiraz or Lis Dino Kach Amdu Vitigni Lem Shmon Asri Brachos Alasader. Shows Rishonos Shevach Hashem, the middle 12 and 13, in order to ask Hashem for the things we need, and the final three to thank Hashem. Today she you aruchos with biakol the yom adu osar v'diyet tefilas elu ha'alagim tefilas shleima k'tefilas bali alashon tzad. So that way, everybody should be able to have a common language with which to talk to Hashem. Everybody can have the best tools at their disposal. It doesn't mean to have the right tool at their disposal. I'll give you an example. When I was coming out of eighth grade, one year I spent in Camp Dor Golden. And now, at the time at Camp Dor Golden, they had this thing called Yalozu. What was Yalozu? It's a chance to give a bunch of guys an opportunity to just be real men. To live out in the forest and, you know, eat berries and get hold these really long pocket knives, which really weren't pocket knives, they were like a scimitar, right? But they had these like really big blades and they were 12. And it was like the camping experience with as much testosterone as possible. That was how it was sold. The rest of the guys in camp all looked down and were like, oh, these guys, they don't like to play sports, they just like to climb in trees. Okay, that was like sort of the divide between the regular part of camp and Yalozu. But secretly, all of us in the regular part of camp also want to be using those really big knives and to be climbing in trees and doing whatever else they did in Yalozu. And in fact, one time, me and one of my closest friends had seen the Yalozu guys going spearfishing. What is it? You tell them to go spearfishing. They took those blades of theirs and sharpened these sticks. They were going hunting, and they were. They took these wooden sticks, they made the ends really, really pointed, sharp, perfect, and then they walked into the water where like there were snapping turtles and Dor Golden Lake. They weren't afraid. And they went through and they would go hunting for fish. And they actually caught fish that way. Yeah, for another people getting, you know, that's pretty cool. I want to do that too. I can also play softball and basketball. And I also want to do that. So we took whatever like measly pocket knives we were allowed to have in the main camp, you know, type that like this big, you know, it's really meant for filing your nails. And we took that out and we sharpened these sticks and we tried way into the lakes also and see if we could go spearfishing. It was disastrous. But not only did like, we not catch anything, we just like, kept hitting ourselves. You take like this thing, which is not properly angled, not properly pointed, and just thrust into the water where like the fish is like down there, but it's not actually there. First of all, it moves. Second of all, it's way deeper than you realize based on how it looks. Lightning reflected through the water, you're just like, I don't stand a chance. I just keep on like wasting all my strength and just missing. If you don't have the right tools of tefillah, you're like me and my friend trying to go spearfishing. You don't have the right words to use. You don't know what to say. You don't know how to say it. You'll just get totally befuddled. You're just getting out there and say, use a little bit of Aramaic, a little bit of Hebrew, a little bit of English, whatever language you speak, Chinese, I don't care. And it's not going to work. You want to have something which is beautiful, profound, something which will break through the gates of heaven. So one reason why we have a set text is because that way it enables us all to have the ideal tools, the right words with which to pierce through the heavens and get our tefillah's answer. However, another, perhaps more important reason than just like technical reasons, that way we don't have the right words to say, is because, as Rabbeinu Bachya tells us, focus on Lobos, the next source, that it's so hard to focus. Does anyone here, I don't have to raise your hand, anyone here ever tried to daven, just like spur of the moment without using words, all the time, guys in Shana Aleph, Shana Bet even, come into Yeshiva, I'm like, it's so hard to work on tefillah. Why it's so hard to tefillah? Because I say the same words every day, and like, I don't even know what they mean. Yeah, I have an interlinear sitter, but like, I don't actually pay attention to that. It's so hard. I wish I could daven my own. Oh yeah, tough guy? Try it. You're allowed to daven more. Don't like say Hashem's name unnecessarily, but talk to God. Try using your own words. See how eloquent you are. See how effectively you're able to stay focused. The Rambam's point is about eloquence. Rabbi Lachai's point is you won't be able to. Try just sitting in your car and dominating for Hashem to help you in traffic. Okay, you'll get that one line out, but then you're not going to like continue focus. Oh, great, lofty, mighty, almighty, omniscient, omnipotent. What does that even mean? You'll get quickly sidetracked by other things. In order to give us a set text, rather than say free-for-all, every man for themselves, do whatever it works, that works for you, Chazal gave us a set text, so that way we could dominate properly by being focused. What does it mean to be focused in tefillah? There are so many levels. One of my favorite stories about Chazal is a titan, a giant of Torah learning. Everything of greatness in Torah, I think of Chazal. Not only in terms of what he wrote, how he wrote, really the quality and the quantity. Chazal was the man. One time, Chazal was davening, and as the leader of the kahal that he was, on a very, very urgent matter of life and death, they need to interrupt his menstrual. He was in the middle of Chilanstra. Yeah, but you know what? Even Chilanstra can be interrupted if it's a matter of life and death. And if you need to speak to somebody, he's going to have those reins in his hands. They need him to help now. You can't wait, not even 5 minutes. It was a matter of life and death. They had to speak to Chilanstra. It was very awkward. Interrupt the Gadol Hador of Shimon Esther and ask him, what are you supposed to do? So one of the rabbanim that was involved in this decision went up to Rebbe. You know, like when you're trying to get your attention or somebody's attention, wishing maybe they'll hear me, just saying that, Rebbe, Chazan shouldn't budge. When I would have done it, I was like, no. What else? Right? That's what I would have done. Chazan shouldn't even budge. So he said, Rebbe didn't budge. It was in a different place. That was the focus of the Chazanesh. So what did he do then? He tapped him on the shoulder. Rebbe, feeling very, very bad, and more embarrassed about himself every second. Okay, now if this is me, maybe I would just be putting it on the show. Chazanesh didn't even notice he was there. Do you know how they got the Chazanesh out of that trance, out of his standing before Hashem, before Kadosh Baruch Hu? Two grown men picked him up and shook him. That's focused to me. Okay, so not quite aspiring to that. But what we are aspiring to is something well beyond what we would get if we didn't have a set text with you. Reason number two, why we have a set text, is to enable us to focus, follow along in the sitter. Sometimes people complain about me, I was talking to some of guys this week, about how they find it just hard, they like dominant, they don't like to dominate, because like, otherwise they can't keep pace, I don't know. But sometimes that's true, but also, on other times, it sort of sets you to a text and you follow along, you're hopping on that train. Other two reasons why it's so important to have tefillah set for us, well, think about it. Any place in the world, you can walk into a shul and you know exactly the words. Okay, it's a Sephardi shul, you're confused why they're saying in Kalkanu now, like what? They say this every day. Once you're in the shul, you realize, yeah, we do say it every day. That's what we do here. Eretz Yisrael, that's our minhag. But generally speaking, they're saying the same word the same way. And it's a way of unifying all of Klal Yisrael. Rather than just having people being left on their own and serving Hashem, we are brought together, and no matter where you are, you can always find Jews doing the same thing. And one final reason offered as to why it is that we have a set text, aside from being a way for us to have the right tools that are disposable and to enable us to be focused and to unify us, it also equalizes us. When you think about somebody like the Chazanesh, his caliber, his degree of greatness, where he holds in the Mesorah, that he's saying the same words as me and you, all of us are asking for the same things in the same fashion, it sort of brings us all down to the same plane. Because fundamentally, it doesn't mean to take away from the Chazanesh's greatness. When we stand before Hashem, we all are on the same plane. We're all nothing. Anochi afar ve'efer. I'm nothing before Hashem. And therefore, we're all at that same baseline. We're all on the same basic level related to Hashem. So a number of reasons why we have a set text. Let me turn to the most underrated part of the field. If there was one part of our set text that we have as part of our sitting that you would have thought is the most unnecessary, annoying, long, best time to space out, it is. Oh, you want to give a suggestion, Justin?
Corbanos.
Okay, that is up there. I don't mean to say that Corbanos doesn't have all those features. Yeah, go for it.
Chazaras
Hashas. Right. What is the deal with Chazaras Hashas? When the Shliach Tzibor is just repeating Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah, we just did that. Why are you saying it again? So we should bring a couple of reasons why Chazal instituted this as part of our set text. Why is this? Does this help you focus? No, it does not. If anything, it makes me get unfocused. I always feel that the parts of davening where I'm doing something is easier to focus on. Like I'm supposed to say something, I'm responding to something. Especially the parts where I'm just listening. It's Torah, it's kind of hard. I like to read along with them so bad. Engage. It's hard when you're not engaged to like just make sure every few seconds you're like, okay, right? It's tough. It doesn't help you focus. What's the reason why Chazal puts it? So the Rishonim, of course, give two fundamental reasons. These are the most common reasons. Reason number one. Well, in the olden days, not everybody knew how to daven. Not everybody had a sitter. This was before the printing press. And therefore, well, it is not so simple to have that set text which they tried to let you have. So what would happen? Some people still, despite the takana of making Shemoneh Esrei be a set standard text, a lot of people weren't familiar with it. So to be yotze, to help those who were not familiar with the text fulfill their obligation, Chazal instituted the Shliach Tzibor, who would have a sitter, or at least someone who knew it, to get up there and to say it again. to let everybody hear. Now, that seems pretty cumbersome. Why would we do that? I mean, that why is everybody saying it their own the first time? But this was the way that Chazal had set it up. In order to help be yotze those that weren't familiar with the set text of Tefillah. However, another reason brought by the Torah or by others is that it was just simply a framework with which we were able to incorporate certain things which require a minyan for, such as Kedusha, such as Nesias Kapayim of the Kohen Gadol. Those things require 10 Jews all being there, participating. And therefore, we need some framework to do that. Okay, so then you ask, why do we make you see the whole thing? Okay, that's a good question. That's because once we were using the form of tefillah, we step with the same form of tefillah. So two very technical, very dry reasons. Well, to help people be yotzei, so that way we can say Kedusha and Birkas Kohanim. Those are the reasons that are given. It's very strange. Let me tell you a few things about Chazar Shas before I give you a third reason. Do you know that the only time, to my knowledge, that the Shulchan Aruch writes the following language is about Chazar Shas? Look at source 6. Lo yasiach sicha schulin b'shach sheshliach tzibur chozer hatfilah. Wait a second. He's not talking about Dom in general. He's not even talking about your Shmon Esrei. He's a person should not speak during the time of Chazaras Hashatz. Specifically Chazaras Hashatz, he's supposed to say. The Imsaf who choteh. And if you do talk during that time of Chazaras Hashatz, which is probably the prime time for talking, I remember once seeing a guy literally pulled out a book of jokes during Chazaras Hashatz. My mind was blown. I'm like, dude, I'm trying not to judge you here. But like, coming prepared with a book of jokes that you are taking out during Chazaras Hashatz, just like, that's really bizarre. I saw with my own eyes. If you talk during that time, you are a sinner. The gadol abono min so, and your sin is greater than you are able to bear. The goar and bono, we rebuke you for it. During talking during Chazaras Hashatz, that is very intense language. Find me a parallel in Shulchan Aruch. It's really, really intense. For talking during, who cares? Look, let me ask you a question. I sent you an Esrei. I don't need to be yotzei with it. Why do you care? I'm busy talking. More. The Rambam there comments another point, which I think is unprecedented in the entirety of Shulchan Aruch. Now, I don't know the entirety of Shulchan Aruch. But when you guys find me at a parallel, then I'll say one of the few times. But here's one point that, to my knowledge, is unprecedented. The Rambam gives you enough advice. Want help raising your kids in today's difficult era? I feel like it's like the title of this year. So, want some help? Know how to do it? He says, "Bi'alami bana b'aktanim shi'anu amein." Teach your kids to answer amein in Chazaras Hashatz. Ki miyad she'atino kone amein. Like, who needs him to say this? You say, okay, it's a good idea to do it. Because as soon as a child can say amein, yesh lo chelek b'olam haba. Then, what looks like that child dies early? They've earned themselves a portion of the world to come. He didn't say because, you know, they were trained to go to the nursing home and smile at people, which is obviously a good idea to do in Chinuch. He didn't say because you started learning Mishnah. He says because you taught them to say amen during Chazaras Hashatz, they will have earned a portion of the world. Why is this so significant? Again, most of us are already fluent in Shmoneh Esrei. We've already said it. So just because we need to say Kedusha, I have to pay attention to the rest of Chazaras Hashatz? Why does this matter? In fact, you want to know something crazy? I'm sure you will all like this. You walk away with one source from here. It's this source. The Rambam writes, in response to a question that he was sent, whether they should stop doing Chazaras Hashatz because it just seems unnecessary. The Rambam says, yes! You should! If people are going to keep on abusing it the way that they are, it's the biggest Chol Hashem. The Rambam's language is very powerful. So what a terrible Chol Hashem. Everybody is there to praise Hashem. Everybody, they're all talking and just reading jokes or whatever it is. Today's terminology, it's amazing how things don't change over 800 years. So, they're on their phones during Chazaras Hashatz. And it's terrible Chilul Hashem. The Rambam says abolish it. And in fact, the Rambam's son, you know, Avram, Ibn Rambam, tells that his father during certain periods of time stopped Chazaras Hashatz in the shul. Because it was just unnecessary and was being horribly abused. But that obviously indicates its great importance as well. That you can make such a Chilul Hashem is because it's so powerful. You can ruin something this great in such a terrible fashion. So again, why is Chazaras Hashatz so important? So the Rav had a different mahalach, based off of Rabbeinu Yonah and many other sources. For the sake of time, we won't be able to go into all of them. But let me tell you the general concept. It goes as follows. There's a thing called Tefillah Bitzibur. davening with the congregation, which hopefully you all do amidst the congregation. Hopefully, three times a day is very easy here. It's just a few flights of steps. Okay, it's a lot of steps. But relatively easy. It's not down a few blocks. It's not so far. Often you're in the building anyhow. To daven, to be a little bit seaboard. To daven with a minion. But you know there's something else that the Rambam and others refer to. And that's called tefillas ha-tzibur. The tefillah of the congregation. What's the difference? One thing is a lot of individuals davening in a congregation together. Then there's another thing, which is called the congregation davening. And that is what Chazar HaShatz, the most underrated part of tefillah. Let me ask you a question. If you have 10 people, 10 soldiers, trying to break through, whichever one go with, the front doors of a castle, trying to break through that portcullis, right? I think that's what it's called. Something that plays more Dungeons and Dragons than I do, whatever. I think so. Yeah, so never that big doorway, you want to break through it. What do you do? So you have 10 people, oh, they're a little hammer. Bang, 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 bang. They aren't doing anything. No. Those 10 soldiers, knights, if we're going with medieval times, 10 knights take a battering ram, and each one of them holds on, and together their unified force smashes down the door. What is Chazar HaShatz? Yeah, we all dominate our own individual tefillah. The way that Chazal set up this framework to say Kedusha and Birkas Kohanim, the way that they set up this way to be Yotzei everybody, is to have the tzibur together dominate one tefillah then. It's a more profound, more impactful, incredibly powerful tefillah, which is then offered. And what's our job during that time? The Rambam tells us. What are we supposed to be doing during Chazar HaShatz? This is a big one. Those don't actually cost you halachal mice from this. This is monks supposed to, whether you're supposed to stand. But based on this teaching of the Rav, if you ever look at any of the Rav's Talmidim, Rav Schechter, Rav Willig, Rashi Yeshiva, what?
Our
Rosh Hashiva stands. Oh, the Rosh Hashiva, exactly, very good. Stands there, and often in the same form that they were in. I've seen Rabbi Willig do it. I've watched him in Rosh HaKol for a couple of summers. Stands there. It's if he's in Shemona Esrei, listening, be mechavi to each and every word of Shemona Esrei, saying Amen, Amen, Amen. Because together, we are all saying a much more powerful request, something which is exponentially more powerful. It's not just the sum of the parts. It takes on a whole new quality of tefillas ha-tzibur when you daven Chazar HaShatz. So therefore, it's abundantly clear that all of us, if we're going to pay attention during davening, don't space out during Chazar HaShatz. Use that time. That is a key moment. Bang down the doors of heaven to ask for Mashiach, to ask for Rafua, for your brother, your mother, whoever it might be. That's the time when it's far more powerful. Listen. Focus. Say Amen. Let me tell you a story. This was, I think, my ticket into Gan Eden. We made a couple of shidduchim. There's a thing like, oh, you know, make three shidduchim and automatically you're into Gan Eden. Okay, I don't even know if that's true. I have no idea if that's a source. But this is my ticket in. I don't know what else I've done in life. This was my chiddush. I once had a chiddush. I worked in chinuch staff in Misorah, Camp Misorah, one summer. Actually, Rich was there that summer too. His wife was the head of the chinuch staff. He was doing some waiter program. It was very schmuck. And the kids did not doubt it. I don't know if you've ever been to a camp before. Presumably you have. They just don't daven. Like, when I was there, I used to be like, pretended to daven. I'm not that much older than you, but like, my experience, or at least my memories, of davening, like, oh yeah, we opened the sitters. They didn't open their sitters. They came, if they came, and just sat there. And I was like, oh, hey, nice daven. You know, look. Like, I didn't know a fifth grader would give me that kind of look. They really just did not daven. And you know what was worse? What was our theme for the summer? And chinuch? Tefillah. Great. How do you teach that sense of responsibility, of awareness of a Kodesh Baruch Hu? Somebody so young, especially when they're not at all interested. It was very hard. I'll tell you that. It was very hard. Now, the hardest day of the summer was NFL day. Misorah Football League day. Okay? What happened on that day? All the boys all day are divided up into different teams and square off against each other. Eventually, play each other in the Super Bowl. The halftime of the Super Bowl was the chinuch staff versus the head staff. That was our halftime. The girls all day. Look, this wasn't my idea. I know it's a little bit weirdly sexist, but the girls just made Super Bowl commercials all day. The boys played football all day. Like, the girls weren't even given the option. That was what they had. That was what they did. And coming to Shoppers that morning. Do you know what Shoppers was like? Every one of these kids is wearing their little, like, you know, Eli Manning jersey and anything that they could possibly have. They were so pumped. They were so excited. Even the kid that would, on occasion, Dobbin, like the ones that would, like, force a bribe to Dobbin for the T-board, like that 8th grade kid, so even though they were interested, they were just all talking about football, 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 football. I realized we were dead in the water. We didn't stand a chance here today. And then a thing struck me. An idea. In my head. I got up there. I stopped them right before they were going to get up to Chazar's shops. I took the microphone. I said, guys, tell me something that's unique about the Dolphins. Tell me like a player playing them. Come on. Really? Well, what's unique about the Dolphins? The Dolphins once had an undefeated season. They went 14-0 and then won the Super Bowl. But at that point, there were only 17 total games if you were to go and make it all the way through the Super Bowl. I started listing off stats, which are Hashem or whatever, I just don't remember as clearly now, but then I did. I just was saying, oh, this year the Panthers were 13-0 and lost it. And the Colts were 14-0 and lost it. The Patriots, one year, went 16-0 in the regular season. And then made it all the way to the Super Bowl, 18-0, and then David Tyree with a catch that we will all always remember, caught it on his head. Amazing comeback. Giants win. Patriots stinking. 18-1. Nobody in history of the world, I told these kids, has ever gone 19-0. Never. You guys today, you can do it. How can I do it? Shimon Esrei. 19 brothels. Right now, Chazar's the shot. It's coming our way. Will you answer a main to everyone? I don't know how it'll work, but it'll work, guys. Every one of those kids in that entire room said, a main! When we got to the first breath, second breath, I mean, I'm like, okay, we're halfway through the regular season, we have a bye, okay, everyone get this next domain. And they did it. We're in the playoffs, Super Bowl, 19-8, the whole room roaring. Okay, a few of them like fell out by then, because like, what's this guy's shit, this is garbage, right? He wasn't interested, but most of them were doing it that whole time. What I realized from then, I'll end with two very practical tips about how to make Chazar's shots. Aside from this knowledge that this is the most impactful and underrated part of the field, who pays attention to Chazar's shots? I was actually looking around today, so I could like call out people by name. I don't want to call out people by name. But like I was like looking around, like, oh, you know, this person's actually paying attention to Chazar's shots. Well, I wasn't. I was trying to do both. But either way, right? So you see which kids are like, actually, let me tell you, the number is not so many. The number is not so many. Or are even answering the main, let alone paying attention to what they're saying the main to, or just like autopilot, they just hear it and they plug on main, and then as it comes around to the right time. Pay attention. Maybe even more than your own Shemesh rate. Listen in to this part and say a main. It's so easy. Two good tips. One is what I told them. Look, I know it works. I know it might sound like a weird mind game playing on yourself, but it actually works. If you have it as a streak to go 19-0, you will get 19-0 way more often than like if you just like miss a couple and you're not paying attention. Start off with the instrument. I said, I'm going to get them all. I'm going to get them all. I'm going to get everyone. And once you see the first two, three of mains, I'm telling you, you're not going to miss them. Because once you like start off that way, you're like, well, hold on, I'm waiting for the next one. I mean, I'm anticipating it. It's like, you know, you're trying to catch this, catch that. You're going to get each and every one. So one good tactic to focus a little bit more is to say, I'm going to get them all, and start the first two, three, and then you'll see that streak will push you, as weird as that sounds, to actually listen and answer a main to each and every drama. And then you might even start, once you're already doing that, to say, oh, those are deep words. You know, even Villanelle Sheenan, right? Even something like that, which like, probably nobody ever had attention for ever. So something like that can actually be deeply meaningful. One of the times, I won't call him out by name, was showing me, he was asking me questions in the sitter, and I was blown away. It inspired me to start working more on my sitter, just because of this one comment. Because he looks through every single word, he writes all these words, and he comes and asks me questions all the time. I'm like, no, I never noticed that. I'm a lot of years, not so many years, but a bunch of years older than you. And that's a really good point. It's a really good question. So one way is to make sure you're focused by having a streak. A second way is to look inside. Now, I know that seems weird, like I'm not saying anything. What do I need to read the words inside? But if you follow along inside, the same way when you were reading it yourself, you're saying, I don't know, the halukas, you're reading it inside, unless you know my heart and you're saying it like that. So generally you're following inside. If you follow it inside, you keep your finger on the place, you follow along as it's coming by there. You know, it's like karaoke things, you know, like the little thing comes in like that. Oh, that was my turn to like tune in. So every time it gets to the end of the bracha, he doesn't mean that you have a chance to stay focused during this most potent, most powerful part of Tefillah. Walk away with this, guys. Walk away with the recognition that Chazar HaShachar, which is probably the most abused and underrated part of Tefillah, has within it tremendous potential. Because it's not just you as an individual listening to another individual, it's the tzibur davening as one. Be a part of that tzibur. Be someone who's tuning in to that power, joining in for that. And Merit Hashem, your tefillah will overall be more effective and more meaningful.